WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We're kicking off the show today with an exciting Get Lit with Olivet book club preview. Our selection this month is the novel The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead. Yesterday, it was announced that Colson is the winner of the Library of Congress Prize for American Fiction. The novel already won a Pulitzer. It's his second. The first was for his novel, The Underground Railroad. Colson started writing his first novel when he was at the Village Voice. And early on in his career, this is a true story, he worked with my best friend, David, who was a little bit senior to Colson. Anyway, one day, David told me, you know, there's this kid, Colson. He can really write. It turned out to be very, very true. In his newest novel, The Nickel Boys, Colson tackles a bone-chilling and little-known episode in American history. The Nickel Boys opens in 1960s Tallahassee. Our protagonist is a black teenage boy named Elwood. Elwood has college aspirations and hero worships Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's convinced that if he can just, quote, act right and protest peacefully, the world could open up for him and the black community. But Elwood's optimism is punctured after he's wrongfully convicted of stealing a car and sent to the Nickel Academy, a segregated juvenile reform school where manicured lawns and red brick buildings mask the horrific physical and sexual abuse happening inside. The Nickel Academy is based on a real place, the Dozier School for Boys, which operated in Florida for 111 years and was a cesspool of violence, abuse, and even murder. The Nickel Boys is chilling and heartbreaking. It's an exploration of friendship, abuse, the lingering effects of trauma, and the way we can be resilient. New York residents can download a free e-copy of the book now, thanks to our friends at the New York Public Library. To find out how to do that, head to wnyc.org/getlit. And then follow us on Instagram at @allofitwnyc to keep up with the discussions happening about the book there. And then, one more thing, mark your calendars for our Get Lit with Olivet Book Club event on July 29th at 7 p.m. We'll all be joined in conversation with Colson and a special musical guest to be announced. But now for a little preview, I'm joined now by Colson Whitehead. Hi, Colson.
Hey, how do you do?
How you doing?
So I was not too bad. I remember David Kim talking about you, so it's funny.
Today, I was hoping you might read the first paragraph of your novel to set the scene for our listeners.
Certainly. Even in death, the boys were trouble. The secret graveyard lay on the north side of the Nickel campus, an Apache acre of wild grass between the old work barn and the school dump. The field had been a grazing pasture when the school operated a dairy, selling milk to local customers, one of the state of Florida's schemes to relieve the taxpayer burden of the boys' upkeep. The developers of the office park had earmarked the field for a lunch plaza with four water features and a concrete bandstand for the occasional event. The discovery of the bodies was an expensive complication for the real estate company awaiting the all-clear from the environmental study, and for the state's attorney, who had recently closed an investigation into the abuse stories. Now they had to start a new inquiry, establish the identities of the deceased and the manner of death, and there was no telling when the whole damn place could be razed, cleared, and neatly erased from history, which everyone agreed was long overdue.
That was Colson Whitehead reading from The Nickel Boys. So as I mentioned, the novel's based on this true story of the Dozier School for Boys in Florida. And we asked our Instagram book club members if they'd ever heard of this story or the school before picking up your novel, and 78% said they had not. When did you first hear the story, and what about it sparked your imagination as an author?
Yeah, you know, it's been covered a lot in Northern Florida papers. It's the town where the Dozier School is a little bit north of Tallahassee, but only, you know, periodically erupts into the national media sphere. So in 2014, the school had closed down, and they were excavating the property and had found the unmarked graves and were trying to identify them. And it was a one-day story, but it stayed with me. It was the summer of 2014, and there were the protests in Ferguson. Eric Garner was killed. And it seemed that, you know, a lot of white law enforcement always gets off the hook when they kill a black, unarmed black person. And at the Dozier School, there were, you know, kids were had their lives mangled by the staff, and the staff was never held accountable. They worked at the place for 50, 60 years, retired, you know, got their pensions, got awards for good citizenship. And so I think that the sort of powerlessness I felt that summer between Ferguson and then the story of Dozier made me think about what kind of novel I could get out of the school.
Now, you're a born and bred New Yorker. So as you started to do research, not only about the school, but about this part of Florida and the history of black people in this part of Florida, what did you learn that you never knew?
Well, I think, you know, read a lot about history and know a bit about Jim Crow, but I forgot just how insane some of the laws were. Of course, we know segregation. We know about lynching and people, you know, getting off the hook for lynching. But there were things like bumptious contact, which was a law in Florida that you had to get out of the way of a white person on the street. And if you didn't, you could be fined or put in jail. And so there were these, you know, very large and real ways that black lives were circumscribed in the South. And then also a host of tiny laws, which to compound the daily humiliations and keep you in check.
The protagonist is sent to Nicola Academy. His name's Elwood. What characteristics did you know you wanted the protagonist of the Nickel Boys to have?
I knew that, you know, he'd be a good kid, and he, you know, hitchhikes with the wrong person and gets sent there. And so he was sort of a stand-in for all the sort of young people of color who can get stopped by the police and have that encounter spin out into something lethal. You know, if you'd left the house 5 minutes earlier or five minutes later, your life would have been... So I knew that he was a good student, and then, you know, you try to add more details. I knew that he was 16 and 63 and energized by the civil rights movement, and so it led me to Martin Luther King and which of Dr. King feed his character and feed the themes of the book. And so, you know, you make one choice and everything sort of, you know, comes out of that. And a goody-goody kid like Elwood calls out for his opposite number, Turner, who's, you know, pessimistic or survivalist and doesn't believe in social order that can be changed.
Why is he named Elwood?
I'm always casting about for old school names, old school black names, and so Lila May and The Intuitionist and Cora sounded right when I was looking for the name of the main character in Underground, and Elwood stuck with me. Turner took a while, but somebody had heard me sort of talk on the radio and did my genealogy chart and traced my family back to Georgia and Barbados. And I have an ancestor named Turner who was Georgia. And so I latched on to that.
Oh, that's funny. That's a family name on my side, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's named after Nat or what, but...
My guest is Colson Whitehead. We're talking about his book, Nickel Boys, our Get Lit with All of It book club choice for July. So before Elwood is sent to Nickel Academy, he's hardworking, he's bright, he's just growing up during this early civil rights movement, and he attends an anti-segregation protest, and your narration says, Elwood was changed, closer. At the demonstration, he had felt somehow closer to himself for a moment, out there in the sun. It was enough to feed his dreams. Now, as you mentioned that you sort of had the birth of this novel happened around 2014 in Ferguson, well, how do you feel about and think about that scene now in the context of everything that's been happening in 2020?
Well, yeah, I mean, 2014 was when I started writing about the Underground Railroad, and so I've done two books back-to-back that deal with social change that doesn't happen. You know, people who get off the hook are not punished, whether it's slave masters, slavery ends, and they go about their business, or superintendents of schools who abuse kids and are never held into account. And so I've been working in a very depressive space the last, 6 years. So it was very heartening to see how big the protests were a month ago, and they're still going on, and how widespread they were. And, we haven't seen that kind of mass demonstration in decades. And so despite being sort of pessimistic about social progress, it was very heartening to see the protests, which are still going on, even if they're not being covered.
Your books have been featured on a lot of the anti-racism reading lists that have been circulating. First of all, how do you feel about that?
I think, there are a lot of stories that have not been told, and definitely Underground and Nickel address parts of American history and Black American history, which aren't taught very thoroughly in schools, and of course, I'm in Fine Company. So whether people read the books they order is another question. I sort of have a dream where there's somebody buys them, doesn't read it, and then their kid picks it up 10 years from now. They sort of see it on their library, and they pass it for years and years, and then one day they sit down and take one of my books or somebody else's book and learn something they didn't know before, or transport it into the life of a character who's unlike them. So I think it's all good, and hopefully, at some point the books come off the shelves.
Is there anything, as our readers are working their way through Nickel Boys, or maybe once or twice, I read it twice, it's really great to read it a second time if you have time before the event. Is there any one thing in the book, a moment, a description that you think readers would love to know about before they get to it so that they have a different appreciation?
I'm really proud of the book, and two-thirds takes place in Florida, and then the third takes place in New York City. Elwood leaves Dozier and comes to New York to make a life for himself. And it was important to narrate that part, not just the abuse, but how people come back from it or don't come back from it, how, he finds the capacity to love and be loved. And there's a real tonal shift once he comes to New York, and I think the New York passages always make me smile. I got to put in, the West Side Spirit. I got to put in all these weird, New Yorker things, and, the experience of watching a marathon on that great marathon day in November. And so I had a lot of fun putting the New York bits together, and I hope that this being a New York City book club, people appreciate it.
I've been speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Colson Whitehead about his novel, The Nickel Boys, our selection for this month's Get Lit with All of It book club. Colson, we'll see you on July 29th.
Indeedy doodly, looking forward.
Thank you.
Bye. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.